lad, because you know it opened my eyes. There's so many wonderful people who, though they be poor, they love Jesus. But these people in prison didn't know that God loved them, nor did I know that God loved me when I was an alcoholic. But I found out He did. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the Gospel of John, and let's begin reading with the 21st verse. After these things, Jesus manifested Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and He manifested Himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to Him, "We will also go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, do you have any fish? Do you?" They answered Him, "No." And He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging a net full of fish. And when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them the fish likewise. And now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. I've labeled this tonight, Going Fishing. Now, here's seven men of destiny. They had left everything that they ever had to follow Jesus. Now, they've already experienced the agony of the crucifixion and also the joy of the resurrection. Their obedience is to going to Galilee. You know, when we speak about the resurrection, you know, that just, my hair just stands on end. What a joy. What a joy. When those people crucified Jesus, they said, "We've got Him now. He'll never make any more noise around this town." They put a great big boulder in front of it, and there He was for 3 days. And that's all He said He'd be in the grave is 3 days, just like Jonah in the belly of the fish. And He arose. Oh, dear friends, don't you know what that means? That means you and I can go to heaven, those of us who put our trust in Jesus. Not those who go to church, necessarily, or read the Bible, or even pray. It's those of us who have been born again, born and our sins washed in the precious, precious blood of Jesus. These men that we're talking about in the Scriptures today, these men will change the world. The potential of the small, dedicated group. Oh, what memories they shared on the shore. They'd walk with Jesus for 3 years. They saw Him do miracles. They saw Him raise the dead. They saw Him heal the blind and the maimed. And now, he is arose. He's no longer in the grave. So they shared some wonderful memories. But Peter said, I'm going to fishing. You see, the sound and the smell of the sea called him. Finally, Peter could not resist no more. Hey, listen to me, dear friends. I was a roofing contractor for many, many years. Did you know, at even 81 years old, if I'm going down the highway or going downtown and I smell hot tar, my hair stands on end. Oh, I loved hot tar. I made a good living doing hot tar and gravel. Yes, sir. And see, old Peter and them, they live by the sea there. Hey, you ever lived by the ocean? I have. I lived right on the ocean. And boy, that old sea air in the morning so sure smells good. Smells good. Even seaweed, when you go to bed at night, you can smell it. But Peter just couldn't resist it no more. He said, I got to go fishing. And they said, well, see, Peter had a real influence on those disciples. And you know, friends, I have to tell you something. When I was in the Navy, I was in the communications division. And there was about 25 radiomen aboard our ship. And there was always four on duty at all time, copying code. And we become great friends. Well, I was the oldest of those, and there was one man older than me. And I was a real influence on those young guys. And I was the one that got them going with me to drink. And I'm so sorry that I ever did that. Oh, I'm so sorry. But you know, many, many times I've written those men letters. I've sent them broadcast tapes. I've prayed for them, still pray for them. Because I know that many of them do not know Jesus. They're religious. They belong to a religion. Don't believe that you have to be born again. So when they die, you know where they're going to go to heaven unless they give their heart to Jesus. Peter was not rebuked by the Lord for going fishing. At least he did something. We also go with thee. So here come the disciples. And they said, we're going to go with you, Peter. Well, you know, dear friends, you know there's someone following you today. If you're a Christian, someone's following you today. Or someone's watching you. In fact, the matter, beloved, you might be the only Bible that someone reads. Now, you just can't live your life and not witness for Jesus, but living a good life for Christ is a good witness, and it's a testimony. Your attitude will affect others. You know, it's one thing to say you're a good Christian, but when you get in the tide of the line, that's Navy talk, you get in the tide of the line, finds out what kind of stuff you're made out of. That's why I'm so proud of our men and women overseas today fighting to protect our country. Oh, I'm against this war. Oh, yes, I am. I'm not saying I was against them going over and getting to them, but I'm against this war. And we're losing men and women by the hundreds every year. What a shame. What a shame that all these people have to die because of some evil religious group. And that's what they are. They're evil. When they say that their religion says to hate all Jews and Gentiles, you know, and kill them if you can, that's not a good religion. Well, we will live nor die to ourselves, according to the in Romans 14:7. The night of catching nothing. Now, it said here, and Simon Peter said to them, I'm going to fish. And they said to him, we will also come with you. They went out, and they got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciple did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you not have any fish, do you? And they answered, dear, no. Isn't that nice when he called them children? Oh, friends, listen, to be a child of the King, to be a, oh, what a joy. I used to think, and I've said this many times, I used to think that the Christian life must be the most boring life in the world. Well, to me, it's the most exciting life in the world. The 51 years that I've known Jesus, my life has not been dull. Boy, howdy. When we go to prison, our lives are not dull. When I go to Denver Rescue Mission and preach, my life is not dull. When I make broadcast tapes, my life is not dull. I get excited when I'm telling lost men and women that Jesus loves them. Well, nonetheless, they had been fishing. Now, these are professional men. They're not just a bunch of old people like me. These guys were professional fishermen. They made a living catching fish. Like the farmer who sows but does not reap. Like the doctor who administers medicine but heals no one. Like the salesman who calls but sells nothing. What a frustrating night. All their labor was in vain. You know what? You know what I always tell people? I'm out witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling them what a joy it is to know him. And now this guy and this gal are listening. Their eyes are as big as saucers. They really enjoy what I'm telling them. Well, I get up and I say, well, I got to go, and I leave. Now, what kind of a salesman would that be? You see, a salesman doesn't go out and talk about his product and then get up and go home. He tries to, he demonstrates it and tries to get him to buy it. Well, with Jesus, we don't try to get him to buy Jesus because you can't buy salvation. You can't earn salvation. Joining a church won't give you salvation. Taking the Lord's Supper won't give you salvation. Being baptized will not give you salvation. Only trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Master and the Miracle. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said, children, do you not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. Well, now what does he tell you to do? The Lord knew what they had to do to catch some fish. Again, I said, these were not a bunch of just ordinary people. These were professional fishermen. And what a frustrating, oh, what a frustrating night they had. And all their labor seemingly was in vain, but in the morning, Jesus stood on the beach. And he said, children, oh, what a wonderful thought. Have you any meat? See, his concern was for their needs, just like his concern are for your needs tonight. What is your need tonight? You say, Cecil, I need a job. Well, let me tell you what, beloved, if you're a child of the King, you can come boldly before the throne of grace and you can ask the Lord for help. Don't demand. There's several religions that say they can demand things from God and he's got to do it. Well, he doesn't. If you want to know the truth, friends, there's only one thing that God really, really, honestly has to do. If a man or a woman calls upon him and repents of their sin, he has to save you. That's his promise. See, God does not make promises that he breaks. Well, the honest answer of the children, disciples, no, we don't have any fish. Well, he said, I'll tell you what you do. You cast the net on the right side of the ship. Well, they thought, my stars in the morning, who is this guy? He's telling us, we're professional fishermen, we know what to do. And now he's saying, go on out there and cast your net on their side. Well, we've done that. But nonetheless, they said, okay, that's what we'll do. And my stars in the morning, whew, they caught the net full of fish. The miraculous catch, the net was full. And he said, them cast the net on the right side of the boat and they will find catch. They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. You know, the Lord has called us to be fishers of men. Oh, yes, he has. Oh, friends, there's nothing in the world that thrills my heart anymore. The other day, my wife and I was in a women's prison, and this one girl was just crying her heart out as I spoke. And after the service, see, we're not allowed to touch them. We're not allowed to hug them. That's against the rules. We can shake hands with them, all right. And this girl come up, and she threw her around my neck, and I couldn't slug her, hit her on the head. And she said, I did. You did what? I did tell Jesus I was sorry, and I invite him into my heart. Well, you see, friends, John said, Jesus, it's the Lord. Oh, Peter was so excited, he dove in and swam toward Jesus. Yes, he did. John and Peter have set good example. The disciples, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Like Peter, hurry to Jesus. Feasting with Jesus on the shore, that must have been a wonderful night or morning. The fellowship is a feast on earth, but oh, beloved, listen to me. Someday we'll feast with him on heaven's shore. Someone said to me one day, well, is there going to be anything to do in heaven? I hope to kiss a pig there's going to be things to do. One of the things were to worship the Lord and praise him. Beloved, there's not going to be any more sickness. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more tears, no more heartaches. God said, I shall wipe away all tears and be your God. Friends, maybe your body's racked with cancer tonight. Or maybe you have some disease that doctors say it can't be healed. And nobody on this earth will convince me that God can't heal all diseases. Now, did I say he would? I did not say that. I said he can heal all diseases if it's his will. It doesn't hurt to ask the Lord to heal your body. It doesn't do any harm to ask the Lord to make you feel happy and give you joy and peace as you go about his business. Friends, I want to ask you, tonight, do you want to go fishing? Do you want to go fishing tonight? Well, listen, I tell you what. You might discover Jesus out there again, just like the disciples. They didn't know he was Jesus. He had already went to the cross, and he had rose from the grave. They didn't recognize him, but all of a sudden, his voice, there must have been something in his voice that made Peter and him know that it was Jesus, the Son of God. Friends, have you tonight got it settled where you want to spend eternity? I mean, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know? Well, the Bible said this is written that you may know that you passed from death unto life. Now, if you die and not knowing Jesus, it's too late. Oh, you say, but my old religion says there's a second chance. Well, that religion is wrong, and the Bible doesn't say that. It's appointed that a man wants to die in the judgment thereafter. Now, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this powerful prayer, and please don't pray this prayer if you don't mean it. It's serious. And right now, he's standing with outstretched arms waiting for you to come to him. And here's the prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord, and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. Friends, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you spiritually, please call 303-471-8534.
On the hillside,
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. I ask you tonight, would you pray for me and my wife and my quartet as we go in the highways and the byways, compelling them to come in? I tell you, friends, I don't know how God could be so good to me to bless me for all these years, being able to broadcast and be able to go to prison and be the director of 3 rescue missions. I tell you, if you want to get the action, let Jesus take care of your life. Let him lead you. He sure wants to. Well, dear friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.